As we know, we're coming right off the heels of a festive Hanukkah season, and these are days in which we recite Al Hanisim many times over again in our tefillos, as well as in the benching that we do. And in the Al Hanisim, we speak about the incredible, the glorious miracles, the military victory that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for our people. So we say, Ve'ata berachamecha harabim, amadata lehem be'ez sarasam, rafta es rivam, danta es dinam, nakamta es nikmasam, Masarta Giborim Biad Chaloshim. In truth, this was just a guerrilla warfare, how somehow they came to be mighty and victorious over the most powerful army in the world. Virabim Biad Meatim, Temeim Biad Tahorim, Misham Biad Tzadikim. But then immediately after that, Rav Soloveitchik points out, after we talk about the military victory, we mention what he suggests is the most important part of the whole story, and that is, V'ata Barachamecha Rabim. Writes from Soloveitchik that as much as we highlight the miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu may have provided for our people, and as happy as we are about the military victory, we remind ourselves that after all of that, all of that was with mercy, but we as the children needed to do the next step. We as the human beings needed to take the initiative, and in order to have any sort of spiritual improvement or advancement, we needed to be the ones to come to the Beis HaMikdash. We had to be the ones to rededicate it. And that was something that could not happen by the hands of God Himself. Like the Gemara says, Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz meyira shamayim. Everything is in the hands of God, but my level of spiritual attainment and where I am in my relationship with Him is really primarily up to the individual, him or herself. That is not something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be involved in. So I'd just like to pick up on that theme of Rav Soloveitchik by mentioning another comment in his Sefer, Yemei Zikaron, that he has with relation to our Parsha. And there he quotes verbatim what the Rambam writes in the Sefer Shmona Prakim. The Rambam there has an introduction to Torah Shebal Peh, and the Rambam tells us that there's a way of contrasting two different personalities, two different kinds of individuals. One is what he refers to as the chassid. The chassid is the person who is the pure, pristine, pious individual. And then he says you have the person who is the moshel benafsho, who has a life of self-restraint. So the Rambam talks about these two individuals, and he writes as follows. Amru ha-philosophim. We know that the Rambam was also a philosopher on top of everything else that he did. He dabbled in philosophy very deeply, and he writes, Amru ha-philosophim. The philosophers maintain, Shaha moshel benafsho, that a person who lives life with self-restraint, afal pi sha'asa ha-maisim ha-tovim v'ha-chashuvim, even though in the end he does perform the moral and the praiseworthy activities that he's expected to do in life, still writes the Rambam, hu osa osam v'hu mis'ava el ha-pu'ulos ha-roz v'nichzaf aleyem. He does the good things at the same time that he desires and he craves for doing something that is immoral. He is Moshel Benafsho, says the Rambam. He is a person who is Yichvosh as Yitzro. He is subduing his passion, and by subduing himself and his innate instinct to want to do bad, he then goes, Amashi Yeruah Lav Kochosa V'Tavosa V'Tchunas Nafsho. He fights against that which his internal self tells him to do, and he ends up Yaseh HaTovos V'Hu Mitztar Basiyasim. It's hard for him. He's constantly irritating. He's fighting with himself to try to do the right thing, because the way he was created was naturally to do the wrong thing. That, says the Rambam, is person number one, called the Moshel Benafsho. Number two, he says, you have the individual who's referred to as the chassid, the pure and the saintly individual, shehu nimshach bepu'ulaso, that the Rambam says is guided in all of his actions, acharma sheta'iru alav ta'avaso utchunaso. He has a natural predisposition inside of himself to do the right thing, to always do hatovos v'hu mis'avev v'nichsef aleihem. He has an innate and a longing desire to always want to do the right thing. And says the Rambam, these are two very different, very unique spiritual experiences that a person can have. And these, says Rav Soloveitchik, are the two categories in which he tries to explain what happens in our Parsha. He says in the very beginning of Parsha's Vayigash, we are introduced to this incredible exchange, Vayigash Elav Yehuda, that Yehuda stands up boldly in front of Yosef, and they have this very difficult exchange with one another. And there, Rav Soloveitchik says that in essence, these two brothers were so dramatically different from one another. One of them, he suggests, was naturally the chassid, And the other one he suggests was naturally the Moshel Benafsho. So he explains it as follows, and this is again in the Sefer Yemei Zikaron, a beautiful interpretation where he explains. Yosef was a man who always had a tremendous clarity of vision. Yosef was an individual who had an outstanding moral compass. It was just natural for him to always do the right thing. The Pasuk says in Sefer Yirmiyahu, Rav Soloveitchik quotes this, "Beterem otzircha babatan yidaticha, uveterem teitzei merechem hikdashticha." There are some children who are born that already, from like the way art scroll books write it today, the house was lit up when they were born. So obviously that didn't happen. But in some way it's true. You have children who already from a very young age, you can see that they have something special about them, something very unusual. They're always just pushed to do the right thing. Everything with them is easy. That is not the experience of everyone. But the Navi in Sefer Yirmiyah says, there are some children who are born that way, that they try and seek out godliness already from a young age, and they almost intuitively and instinctively know what is the right thing to do in life. The Psukim write in Sefer Shemos, V'Yosef haya b'Mitzrayim. As we know, Yosef was the leader of the land of Mitzrayim in his age and his generation. And Rashi writes, Lo diachat sidko shal Yosef. This comes to tell you, what do you mean Yosef haya b'Mitzrayim? We know that Yosef was in Mitzrayim. After all, we've just been reading the Psukim about how many incredible things he took care of while he was the leader of Mitzrayim. So what does it mean, Yosef haya b'Mitzrayim? Rashi says, Hu Yosef haroat son aviv, Hu Yosef shahaya b'Mitzrayim v'nasa melech v'amad b'tzidko. Rashi says, there's a certain sense of sincere and natural integrity that Yosef has. And the same innocent and good, perfect, sweet little young man, Yosef, who's living in his father's home, who has no challenges spiritually, is the same Yosef that we are introduced to here in Mitzrayim. Nothing changed at all. He is the son of Yaakov Avinu, and he is the one who, although he is surrounded by so much decadence and immorality and such a horrible society in Mitzrayim, Yosef is the one who has the ability to remain the tzaddik. In fact, when Yosef grew up, we find something so unusual. We know that Yosef's brothers hated him. We know that they wanted to kill him after he tells them the dreams. And yet, although they absolutely despised him with all of their passion, he knew that they were plotting against him. When his father asked him to go out into the field, Liros, to go and see what's going on with your brothers, he says, no problem. He has no issue going, what are you walking into a death trap? Why are you doing that? But Yosef has no reservation. If my father asks me to do it, I'm going to do the right thing. Even though it might mean that I'm going to destroy my life, even though it might mean that my brothers are going to kill me, Yosef goes ahead and does what he wants. At some point, the Pasuk even tells us that he bumps into a mysterious man. He doesn't really know who it is. And this man asks him, Matevakesh, where are you going? What are you looking for? And Chazal say he was asking him, Lame mevakesh atat saras la'atzmecha. Your father asked you to go out to find your brothers, but why are you putting yourself in a vulnerable position to make problems for your own life? What are you doing? That's what he asked. He didn't just ask him, are you wandering around? Do you know where to go? He didn't just give him direction. He asked him, why are you going ahead into this death trap? Why are you going to a place where everybody there hates you? And Yosef responds, well, my father asked me to go see where my brothers are, and he wants me to check up on them. He has no hesitation. He's not a skeptic at all. And he has no doubt that he's supposed to be doing the right thing. He is what the Rambam refers to as the chassid. He was naturally always inclined to doing the right thing. Yosef, says Rav Soloveitchik, was this naturally perfect human being. However, Yehuda, as he tries to tie it back into the way the Rambam formulates these two different people, he says Yehuda was the person who was the Moshel Benafsho. What do we know about Yehuda? Throughout the stories of Chumash that we read from the beginning of Yehuda's life until today, he says that Yehuda was filled with struggles, and Yehuda was always living in tremendous confusion. And Yehuda, as we know, and as we spoke last week, made many horrible mistakes and made many, many terrible errors in the judgment calls that he has made. Chazal hold Yehuda responsible for the sale of Yosef. After all, he was the oldest, he was the strongest of all the brothers, and he was the one who really should have taken responsibility. In fact, Rashi tells us, Vayered Yehuda me'es echav. What does it mean that Yehuda went down from his brothers? Rashi says, L'lamed, it comes to teach you, Sheharidu echav migdulaso. The brother said, you cannot be the leader of our family if this is the way you act, and everything you seem to do is wrong, and it seems that you make so many mistakes, and nothing is clear to you, and therefore they kick him out of the family as a result, and they say, go find yourself another place to live, because we can't be with you. That's what happens to Yehuda. Everything about his life is struggle and constant mistakes and learning from his mistakes. And as if that wasn't enough, after Yehuda is sent away from his brothers because of the terrible thing that he did, all of a sudden we read in the Psukim about the horrible mistake of Yehuda and Tamar. And that's an incredible story. It's very difficult to understand. He has some sort of inappropriate relationship with this woman who he seems not even to know. He doesn't know who it is that he's going home with that night, and yet he impregnates her, and then he stands up in front of everyone and he says, Tzadka mimeni, yes, I was wrong, and everything about my relationship with her was improper, and his father refers to him as Gur Arya Yehuda. You are the strong lion, Yehuda. Mitaraf b'ni Alisa, yes, you have endurance and you have resilience, and that's the way you live life, Yehuda. You're always mituraf. You always have this confusion inside of you, but you have the ability to be a Gur Aryeh. You have the ability to overcome and to surmount all of those challenges that you are faced with in your life. And he says to Yehuda, you have struggled so many times throughout life, and you often have made very poor choices. And if you would do it again, I'm sure you would do it differently, but you have come out stronger and more successful as a result. Like the Gemara says, the courage that Yehuda had to stand up and say the right thing when he so easily could have gotten away with it, that is what the Rambam is referring to, the second individual who is the Moshel ben Nafsho. That, says Rav Soloveitchik, is what we mean when we say, on the one hand, you can be living a life of Yosef, of being this tremendous tzaddik, of everything coming easily, of such clarity and no confusion, or you can be like Yehuda, who's the Moshel ben Nafsho, who's constantly struggling with trying to seek out what is the right thing to do in life. How can I learn from the terrible mistakes that I've made in my life? What is it that I'm supposed to do now that the challenge is standing right in front of me and I have to make a choice of what it is that I'm going to decide to do? They may end up in the same place, says the Rambam. Both of them end up doing the right thing, Yosef and Yehuda, ultimately. However, he says, Yehuda is one that has to be developed and refined throughout life, throughout all of the experience in life, and it's something that is so much harder to accomplish. And it's interesting that in Parshas Vayechi, of all the Shvatim, Yaakov Avinu chooses Yehuda and not Yosef to be the leader and the king of the Jewish people. How strange is that? Wouldn't you say this perfect child, Yosef, after everything he's been through, he has life experience, and Yosef understands that there's a God out there, and Yosef held on to this faith all of the years, wouldn't you say he should be the one? But no, because that is the story of the Jewish people, and that has always been the story of what the Jewish people are about. We fight against our challenges for survival. That is what our history has always been, and we persevere only through our difficulties. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu chooses Yehuda because he's the one who learns, he's the one who knows that history is going to be difficult and life is going to be complicated and things are not always going to be so simple. And yet, a leader who has struggled, a leader who understands how to face challenges, a leader who understands once you've been through it yourself and you need to emerge victorious after all that confusion, Miteref Bani Alisa, that is the leader that we're looking for. That is the person that we want, like the Medrash says in Parshas Vayikra, Asher Nasi Yechata. So the Medrash says, Ashrei Hadar Shenasi, praised is a generation that the leader of its time is involved in terrible sin. Why, all the Mepharshim ask, praised is a generation where the leader has done sin? Wouldn't it be better if we had a generation where the leader did not sin? And the answer is no, because a leader is a person who has to have the courage and the strength to understand that we all make mistakes. And when we sin, there's a way that we deal with our mistakes. And Yehuda is the person who really taught us that incredible lesson. So on Hanukkah, as we spoke about all the incredible miracles, yes, Ravta es Rivam, Danta es Dinam, Nakamta es Nikmasam, it is true, Bayam and Mahem Bazman Hazeh, the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided the Jewish community with incredible miracles back then in the days of the Chashmonaim, we experience the same kinds of miracles today. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hands us such great gifts and such incredible miracles that we see unfolding in front of our own eyes. Can you imagine, can you believe that we have a government today, a Malchus, a Medina Shel Chesed, that gives us all of the religious freedoms that we want, that gives us the opportunity to finally recognize Yerushalayim, that gives us the opportunity to make the decisions that we want to be making, and yet, after all of those incredible miracles that we understand come directly from God, Ravta es Rivam, you did it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we then say the most important line, says Rav Soloveitchik, which is, V'achar kein bo banecha ledvir beisecha. We now have the task, we now have the job to fight for it and to stand up for what it is that we believe in. Jewish character has always been something that we have molded, not that we've inherited. It's something that we need to live up to, it's something that we need to perfect, and it's a struggle That is the never-ending struggle of the history of the Jewish people, and therefore, says Rav Soloveitchik, in the same way in the days of the Chashmonaim, they stood up, they understood what their job needed to be and what responsibility they had to take upon themselves at this time after the great miracles. We too, have to take upon ourselves that same responsibility and understand that all spiritual attainment is only able to be accomplished through our endurance, through our hard work, through our struggle, and it's something that we need to persistently fight for, otherwise it simply will not happen.